Now Solomon dies at the age of 70, and the family buries him in Jerusalem. His son, Rehoboam, is 42 years of age and becomes king, with his coronation occurring in Shechem. Jeroboam has been living down in Egypt for fear of his life because of Solomon, who wanted to kill him. And now that Solomon is dead, the northern tribes send for him. And together they approach Rehoboam and explain how difficult Solomon had made their lives. They tell Rehoboam that they will serve him if he will lighten the burden. Well, Rehoboam asks for 3 days to think about their request. Rehoboam gathers all of his father's wives and old counselors together and asks them for their opinions about the request. And they tell Rehoboam to lighten the load so that the people will serve him. Rehoboam then gathers all his new young counselors and he asks them the same question. And they tell him to make the load heavier. On the third day, Rehoboam tells the people that his little finger is thicker and heavier than his father's waist, and he will be adding to their burden. His father disciplined them with whips, but he will discipline them with scorpions. The 10 northern tribes of Israel leave Rehoboam that day, and they make Jeroboam their king. Rehoboam is only the king over Judah and Benjamin now. The northern kingdom is called Israel, and the southern kingdom is called Judah. Back in Jerusalem, Rehoboam gathers 180,000 warriors to march against the northern tribes and to bring the nation back together. However, the Lord speaks to Rehoboam through a man of God named Shemaiah, who tells him not to go to war because the Lord has allowed the division to occur. But after a while, Jeroboam realizes that if he allows the people of his new kingdom to return to Jerusalem on the special days of worship, they will eventually return to Rehoboam as their king and they will kill him. Therefore, Jeroboam makes 2 golden calves and he sets one in Bethel at the southern end of his kingdom and the other in Dan at the northern end of his kingdom. He also makes houses of worship throughout the entire kingdom and he appoints priests from any tribe. Anyone who wants to be a priest, he makes them one. The Feast of Tabernacles is normally celebrated on the 15th of the 7th month. So Jeroboam changes the date for the northern kingdoms to the 15th of the 8th month. All of this occurs in the month of Bul, and Jeremiah makes the first sacrifice on the new altar. While Jeroboam is making his first sacrifice on the altar, a godly man named Ahijah arrives from Judah. Seeing the altar, he cries out, "A son born to the house of David by the name of Josiah will kill the false priest on their altar. The altar will be split in half and the ashes will pour out on the ground." Well, Jeroboam stretches out his hand towards the holy man and his hand dries up and he cannot pull it back. And then the altar splits and the ashes pours out on the ground. Jeroboam changes his attitude. He begs the man to pray for his hand to be restored, and he invites him to come to his house. The holy man will not go even if he gave him the house. The sons of an old prophet in Bethel tell him about the holy man Ahijah and everything that had happened that day. And the old prophet has them saddle his donkey and he rides out of town to find that holy man. When he catches up with him, he asks him to return to his house to eat, but the holy man refuses, saying that God told him not to go back to Bethel. Well, the old prophet lies by saying that an angel has told him to tell the old man that he was to return with him. So the holy man goes back to Bethel. And while he is eating, the Lord speaks to the man and he says that the holy man has sinned and he will not return to the graves of his fathers. The holy man mounted the donkey and he rides out of town. Later, a man sees the holy man dead on the ground with a lion beside him. He takes the news back to Bethel, and the old prophet goes out to the man. Amazingly, the lion has not touched the holy man, so he brings him back to Bethel, and he has his sons bury him. He wants his sons to know where he's buried. He tells his sons, "When I die, bury me with that holy man too." Even with the warning of the holy man and the destruction of the altar, Jeroboam continues to sin. His sin is so great that his entire family will be destroyed because of it. After the holy man is buried, Jeroboam's son, Abijah, becomes deathly sick. Jeroboam has heard that Abijah the prophet is in Shiloh, and he convinces his wife to disguise herself to ask the prophet about the fate of her son. She carries along 10 loaves of bread, some cakes, and honey as she goes to his house. Now Ahijah is virtually blind, but the Lord tells him she is coming in disguise. "Why is the wife of Jeroboam disguised?" he asks her as she approaches. Ahijah delivers the bad news. Because her husband was selected by the Lord to be king, and he began leading the northern kingdom to worship false gods and idols, he and all his blood family will be destroyed, starting with this sick son. "When your feet touch the city of Tirzah, the boy will die," he says. When the woman reached home, her son was dead. Additionally, he will be the only descendant who will be buried. The rest will be eaten by dogs if they die in the city, and by birds if they die in the field. Now Rehoboam fortifies all the cities with officers and shields and spears, as well as he stores up food, oil, and wine. The cities that he rebuilds are Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soka, Abdullam, Gath, Marishah, Ziph, Odoram, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron. The Levites in the northern kingdom supported Rehoboam. Therefore, Jeroboam excluded them from serving in the high places. So they left their homes and they moved to the southern kingdom, where Rehoboam cared for them. Jeroboam set up his own priest for his satyrs and calves that he made. And all the people in the northern kingdom who would not worship the satyrs or the calves followed the Levites to the southern kingdom to worship the Lord God there. They brought great strength to Rehoboam's kingdom for 3 years. Rehoboam took 18 wives, 60 concubines. He fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. And when they were old enough, he placed them throughout the kingdom to lead the cities and to make sure that there was plenty of food in abundance. For his sons, he sought and he arranged many marriages for them. Rehoboam is no better than Jeroboam. He lets the worship of Baal and Asherah creep into the southern kingdom. He was 42 years old when he took the country at Solomon's death, and he reigns for only 17 years, all plagued with war between the two kingdoms. But in his fifth year as king, Shishak, the Pharaoh of Egypt, raids Jerusalem and takes treasures from the Lord's house, even the gold shields. Now Rehoboam has brass shields made for the guards, which had to be returned to a guard's room only to be brought out when the king visited. When Rehoboam dies at the age of 58, his son Abijam becomes king. It is Jeroboam's 18th year in the northern kingdom. Abijam is as bad as his father is. Yet the Lord promised David that his lamp would be in Jerusalem, so he allows Abijam to reign for 3 years. When Abijam dies, they bury him in Jerusalem, and his son Asa becomes king. Now Asa is a good king who loves the Lord and he hates evil. His first 10 years are peaceful. He removes all the male prostitutes and idols from the southern kingdom, and he removes his mother, the queen, because she worships Asherah. He burns all the images in the Kidron Valley. Now in the second year of Asa's reign in the southern kingdom, Jeroboam dies and his son Nadab becomes king of the northern kingdom. He is an evil king like his father. He only reigns part of 2 years because Baasha from the tribe of Issachar kills him in Gibbethon. When Baasha is crowned king in the third year of Asa's reign in the south, Baasha immediately kills every member of Jeroboam's family as prophesied by Ahijah. However, Baasha is evil and no better than Jeroboam. Baasha reigns for 24 years, and in his last year, the Lord instructs Jehu, the prophet, to tell Baasha that his fate will be the same as Jeroboam's. He and his family are going to be killed. Those who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those in the fields will be eaten by birds. Now Baasha and Asa are constantly at war for 24 years. Baasha fortified the city of Ramah to cut off all communication of Asa's allies. However, Asa is able to send gifts of gold and silver from the temple treasury to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, as a peace treaty gift. Ben-Hadad lives in Damascus, north of Baasha's kingdom. And Baasha had a treaty with Ben-Hadad, but the gifts convinced him to break the promise and to help Asa. Asa moves north to war and conquers many cities. Baasha bowed out of Ramah and he stayed in Tisra. Asa carried away every stone and timber in Ramah and used them to build the city of Geba and Mizpah. The prophet Hananiah speaks against Asa because of his reliance on Ben-Hadad. And furious, Asa puts him in prison and oppresses some of the people of the kingdom. Hananiah tells him, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his." When Baasha dies, he is buried in Tisra, just like Jeroboam, and his son Elah becomes king. He is worse than all the previous kings of the north, and he reigns for 2 years. In Elah's second year, his chariot commander Zimri kills him while he is drinking himself drunk in Tisra. And as soon as he sat on the throne, he commanded that all the house of Baasha be destroyed. They were, and the dogs and birds devoured them in the cities and the fields, just as Jehu prophesied. However, Zimri only reigned 7 days. During his reign, Elah had bought a field from Shemar for 2 talents of silver. He builds a house there and builds a town, and he calls it Samaria. It becomes his home and the capital of the northern kingdom. That is where Zimri killed him. When the people of Gibeathon learn that Zimri has killed Elah, they make Omri, the commander of Elah's armies, the king. Omri attacks Tisra, and when Zimri sees the siege, he enters the king's house and he burns it down on top of him on the 7th day as king. Now only half of the northern kingdom accepts Omri as king. The rest make Tibni their king. Therefore, the northern kingdom is divided for 4 years between Omri and Tibni. Finally, after 4 years, Tibni dies, and the divided northern kingdom is reunited under Omri in the 31st year of Asa. However, Omri is evil. When Omri dies, in Asa's 38th year, Ahab becomes king in the north, and he is also evil. He reigns 22 of his 38 years in Samaria. In Ahab's first year, Hiel from Bethel sets about to rebuild Jericho, but the construction of that city brings him great personal grief and loss. His oldest son dies when they are laying the foundation, and his youngest son dies when they are hanging the city gates. It is a fulfillment of Joshua's curse on the city, the curse that Joshua cursed it when he destroyed it more than 500 years before. Now Elijah had grown up in the northern kingdom, coming from the Gilead area. And when he heard of Ahab's sinfulness, his sinful worship, he told Ahab that the land would be cursed with a drought until he prayed for rain. So the Lord directs Elijah to seclude himself east of the Jordan near the Cherith stream. Ravens bring him meat and bread to eat, and he drinks the water from the stream, and he stays there until the drought dries up the stream. Well, when the water of the Cherith stream is gone, the Lord sends Elijah over near Sidon outside the northern kingdom. And at the city gate, he asks for a jar of water from a woman gathering sticks. And she agrees to get it for him, but Elijah asks for a piece of bread too, and she does not have the bread. In fact, she is gathering sticks to bake bread for her and her son from the last handful of flour and oil that she has. "Oh, make me bread first, and then make yours," Elijah says. "If you do this, your flour and oil will not run out," he promises. Sure enough, there is plenty of flour and oil. Elijah stays at her house for many days, and there is always plenty to eat from the same bowl of flour and the same jar of oil. Now one day, the widow's son dies, and she is plagued with the memory of her husband's death as she clings to the boy. Elijah takes the boy to his room and places him on the bed. He calls out to the Lord and asks for his life to be restored. 3 times he stretches himself over the child, and the boy finally sneezes. When Elijah presents him alive to the widow, she knows that his God is the true God. After 3 years of drought, Samaria is devastated. Ahab has sent multiple search parties to look for Elijah, but none of them have been successful. Finally, Ahab is willing to search for Elijah himself. He summons Obadiah, the overseer of his house, and they divide the land to go look for grass and look for water and look for Elijah. Ahab goes to the west. Obadiah goes to the east. Obadiah sees Elijah and greets him with joy. Secretly, Obadiah is on the Lord's side. In fact, when Jezebel will try to kill some of the Lord's prophets, he will hide 100 of them alive in 2 caves, and he will bring them food to sustain them. Elijah tells Obadiah, "You go tell Ahab that you have found me." But Obadiah is afraid that if he doesn't bring him to Ahab, Ahab will kill him. Elijah promises Obadiah that he is going to see Ahab that very day. And when Ahab sees Elijah, he calls him the troubler of Israel. But Elijah responds by telling Ahab that the drought is your fault for breaking the commandments and worshiping the idol Baal. Elijah calls for a showdown between the gods. He challenges Ahab to bring the 450 Baal prophets and the 400 Asherah prophets who Jezebel is feeding every day at her table to Mount Carmel for a test against his God. And Ahab agrees. 2 cows are brought, one for Elijah, one for the 850 prophets. The Baal and Asherah prophets are to make an altar, to make a sacrifice, and to call upon their God to start that sacrifice with fire. Early that morning, the 850 prophets build the altar and they begin to pray to their God. By noon, nothing has happened, so they begin to cut themselves and bleed before their gods as they pray. And Elijah begins to mock them. "Call out louder," he says. "Your gods must be doing something else, or they have gone on a vacation, or they are just asleep and you need to wake them up." And by the time of the evening sacrifice, nothing has happened. Their gods are not answering, so Elijah prepares his altar and he sacrifices his bull. He also digs a trench around the altar and he has the people pour 4 pitchers of water on the sacrifice 3 times. The water even fills the trench. Elijah backs up and he prays, and fire comes down from heaven, consuming both the sacrifices and the altar and every drop of water. The people fall on their knees and they say, "The Lord, He is God." "Seize the prophets. Do not let them escape," Elijah tells the people. And they haul them down to the Kidron Valley, and there Elijah himself kills them all. He tells Ahab to go back home, eat and drink, because a downpour of rain is coming. Therefore, Ahab left to go home, and Elijah goes back to Mount Carmel with his servants to wait. "Look, look towards the sea, and tell me if there are clouds yet." But none were there. 7 times he sends them to look, and finally there is 1 small cloud the size of a man's fist coming from the sea. He sends the servant to tell Ahab to hurry so the rain does not stop him. Elijah gathers his robe up from around his feet and begins to run towards Jezreel, outrunning Ahab's chariots. The rain pours down. When Jezebel finds out that Elijah has killed her prophets, she promises to kill him within 24 hours. Elijah and his servant leave Jezreel and they run 100 miles to Beersheba in the southern kingdom. He sits under a juniper tree and he begs God to let him die. He falls asleep and an angel wakes him up. "Eat this bread and drink this water," the angel says. So he eats. The second time, the angel tells him to eat because his next trip is very long. From Beersheba, Elijah travels 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, 180 miles away. He finds a cave and he hides in it. "What are you doing here?" the Lord asks him. "I am the only prophet left," he cries out to the Lord. The wind begins to shake the mountain. Elijah wraps his scarf around his face and he watches from the door of the cave. An earthquake occurs and rocks fall and then fire burns the land. And finally, a gentle breeze begins to blow. "Go back to the wilderness of Damascus. 285 miles away, the Lord says. When you get there, anoint Hazael, the king of Aram, Jehu, king of Israel, and Elisha is to take your place. Those who escape from Hazael, Jehu will kill. And those who escape from Jehu, Elisha will kill. I have 7,000 left in Israel who have refused to worship Baal or kiss his idols.